In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. So November 8th is a special day in the life of the church. It's the day we celebrate the angels. The feast is called the Synaxis of Archangel Michael and all the bodiless powers. The term bodiless power is another name for angel. So let me explain that. When God created the universe, he made the stars and the planets, the elements, and then life too. He made the plants, the animals, and people, plus the water, the air we breathe, light and sound. All this God created. All the things that can be seen or heard or touched or measured or weighed or held. You know, some things are so small or so far away that humanity had to develop inventions to see or measure them. Some we haven't even discovered yet, presumably. But in addition to the physical, visible universe, God also made an invisible universe. Things that cannot be located, that cannot be reached, that cannot be measured. A universe that is purely spiritual. And we say at every liturgy in our creed, what do we say? We say, I believe in one God, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things, visible and invisible. We confess this invisible universe at every baptism, at every liturgy, every time we speak our creed. Now, simply because something is purely spiritual doesn't mean it's not real. It's spiritual is just as real as the physical in this universe. Now, angels are intelligent beings whose nature is part of the invisible, part of the spiritual universe. And that's why angels are called bodiless, bodiless powers. Now, when I was a kid, I heard the term bodiless power, and my kid brain envisioned this flying head, you know, with no body. You know, and in some icons, you sometimes see a little face surrounded by wings, and that just reinforced that idea in my head. But of course, that's not what we mean by bodiless power. Being bodiless means no physical substance at all. Being bodiless means only spirit, only energy, only intelligence, only free will, only love, without any physical substance whatsoever. And while people are the intelligent beings of the physical universe, in the same way, angels are the intelligent beings of the spiritual universe. Now, sometimes when people say when a loved one dies, for example, they might say that person has become one of God's angels. And this is a figure of speech because their body has died, and therefore their soul is now existing bodiless, similar to an angel. And that angel-like existence continues until the second coming, when the soul is restored to the resurrected body, and our human nature then is fully restored. Angels, on the other hand, are always and forever spiritual, always and forever bodiless powers. So that's what they are. What do angels do? Well, in the tradition of the church, there are 9 ranks of angels, sometimes called 9 choirs of angels. And those you probably will sound familiar from the liturgy of St. Basil, where we name them. There's angels, archangels, thrones, dominions, principalities, authorities, powers, the many-eyed cherubim, and the six-winged seraphim. That should sound familiar to you. Now, those are the 9 ranks of angels. Now, the cherubim and the seraphim are closest to the throne of God, and they minister to his presence. They're continually singing the triumphant hymn, Holy, 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 Lord of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of your glory. These cherubim and seraphim are the angels that Isaiah saw in his vision of heaven, these cherubim and seraphim. They are the angels we sing of at liturgy because when we enter the divine liturgy, you know, God literally becomes present in his body and blood. I mean, this altar becomes his throne, and we mystically represent the cherubim, gathered before and ministering around that throne right here. So that's the cherubim and the seraphim, those that minister around the throne of God. Next, there are those middle five ranks of angels: thrones, dominions, principalities, authorities, and powers. They remain in the realm of mystery, really. In his treatise on the angels, Father Thomas Hopko of blessed memory, he says of the middle ranks of angels, he only gives one sentence in his treatise on the angels. He says, "Of the middle ranks, they are little known to mankind." That's all he says. That's all about we know. Anything more about those middle ranks are nothing but speculation. But then we get to the other end of the spectrum, the angels and archangels. Angels, not only a general term for the whole group, but a specific rank. The angels and archangels, they have the closest ministry to this world and to mankind, the ones that we might be most familiar with. Angels, they reveal the mysteries of God and his will to individuals. Angels guide a person to a virtuous and holy life. Angels give spiritual support to those who are tempted so that they can remain standing. And angels give light and raise up the spirit of someone who has fallen so they can stand once again. I mean, if you've ever been sorely tempted to do or say something bad or hurtful, and you suddenly find the strength not to, that's your angel. If you've ever thought, I really ought to do such and such a good thing, and it turns out to be exactly what your corner of the world needed at that moment, that was your angel. If you've ever messed up or hurt someone or yourself or absolutely fallen in the eyes of God, and while you were down, even if it was your own fault, you felt that light and energy picking you back up, that's your angel. Your angel may occasionally protect you from physical harm, but mostly your angel is on the job to protect and bring light to your soul. Every person is assigned an angel the second they are conceived, and that angel is going to be with you for all eternity, for all eternity. And then that brings us to the archangels. Archangels are the messengers and workers of the great and wonderful tidings and works of God in this world. Archangels enlighten nations. They inspire prophets. They work the great spiritual wonders of God among his people. And the interesting thing about archangels, is they're the only angels whose names we know. They're the only ones whose names have been revealed. For example, Gabriel is the angel who announced the conception of John the Baptist to Zechariah and Elizabeth, and who announced the coming of the Son of God to the Virgin Mary herself. Raphael, the archangel, protected and accompanied Tobias on his journey to Media to find Sarah. And then there's Michael, for whom the feast day takes its first name. Michael is an archangel with a special place among the whole host of angels, among the bodiless powers of heaven. And that's because Michael is the captain, the commander of them all. Michael was given such grace, such light, such power, and complies so closely in obedience to the mind and will of God that God placed Michael as captain of the angels. Even the name Michael means what? It means one who is like the Lord. He's that close. Now, in addition to commanding the ranks and choirs of angels, Michael has his own duties as well. Michael appeared to Joshua just before the conquering of Jericho. Evelyn, I think you read that reading on Holy Saturday where Michael appears to Joshua. Michael accompanied Habakkuk to bring food to Daniel in the lion's den. Many fathers of the church teach that the pillar of fire that came between Israel and the host of Pharaoh at the edge of the Red Sea was nothing more and nothing less than Michael himself standing there. But of all his duties, the most important and the most painful one for Michael was when he expelled Lucifer from heaven, when Lucifer turned against God. It's what Jesus referenced in today's gospel reading. It was a horrible battle, and according to Jesus, it was nothing to rejoice over. The disciples came back after being sent out, and they're all excited, and saying, "Even the demons are subject to us in your name." And Jesus says, that's nothing to rejoice over. That's nothing to rejoice over. It was like having to expel one's own brother. Rejoice that your name's written in heaven, but don't rejoice that anyone has ever fallen, spiritual or physical. The battle between Michael and Lucifer lasted about as long as it takes for a bolt of lightning to go from the sky and the ground. Right? That's how strong good is versus evil. But it's described by the fathers as the most awful event in the history of the universe. Now, I want to leave you with one last thought when it comes to angels. When you see an icon of any angel in the Orthodox tradition, no matter what they're doing, whether they're bringing messages, whether they're accompanying travelers, whether they're singing praises, or whether they're battling Satan, the face of an angel is always calm in the Orthodox tradition, always measured, always at peace, always filled with light. You know, in some paintings in museums, you'll see angels going, ah. You're not going to see that in the Orthodox Church. You're going to see calm, you're going to see measured, you're going to see peace, and you're going to see light. And I even set out two icons of Archangel Michael today for us. You can take a look as you come out. One in battle, one standing at the ready. But it's the same calm face, that same light-filled face. And so maybe if we're going to take anything from today's feast of Archangel Michael and really all the angels, this synaxis, this gathering together, maybe let that be your goal. Let that be our goal in ministering as well as we can to the will of God, that no matter what we face, no matter what comes our way, no matter what light we're called to bring or darkness we're called to overcome, let that be our goal in ministering the will of God, a face and a heart filled with peace, calm, measured, and filled with light. Amen.